Well, good morning, everyone. How many of you have ever been on a walk or a run or whatever, or a bike ride, and you've come to a point in your journey, and you look at a path, and you can kind of see down, and you wonder, should I or shouldn't I? You ever been there? It doesn't look so bad, you know, because we do that a lot of times. There's sometimes we don't mind the hike uphill, you know, or some of the challenges, and there are other times we just want nice, flat, level ground, right? Anybody with me on that? When you're out trying to get those paces in or whatever, get your count of steps, whatever it is, or just when you're just out enjoying a walk. And sometimes that's okay in life. We sometimes make those choices based on the easier path, and that's all right. But in our walk with Christ, it's sometimes those times when we try to evaluate where our Lord's leading us, and we think, Lord, I don't know if I want to go that way. That seems really dangerous. That seems challenging. That seems like something I cannot do. That may be the very path that the Father has for us. In fact, it often is. So go ahead and look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at just a couple of verses today, verses 13 and 14. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount. You're like, how long was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? It was a long sermon. So if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Let me get this open here. Come on. Where'd it go? All right. Okay, you were up just a second ago. Here we go. All right. And Jesus is saying, he says, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll use this time today for your purposes, accomplish your mission and your desires in our hearts and lives, that you will draw us unto yourself and help us to understand what path you have for us, and that we would faithfully follow you in it, knowing that you are the one who leads us on this journey. Bless this time and use it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know it's just a couple of verses, but this is one of those texts you could spend hours on, because there's so much here when you think about life. Because many of us, life, we know our lives are really a lot of decisions that we make, right? You come to a point and you make a decision to go this way or that way, and you have to make a conscious choice oftentimes in your lives as you seek to stay on the path that you believe God has for you to make the right choice. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes you're at one of those junctures and it's not sure which way is best, and it's not that one way is really bad and one way is really awful or good. It's really they're both decent paths, but you're trying to figure out which is the path that God has for you. Because whether you want to, some of us may struggle with this, but you realize God has a purpose, a plan, and a direction for your life. Do you understand that? That he's leading you on a journey, that he has a direction, and he has a way to maximize the kingdom impact of your life by the life that you lead, by the people that you encounter, by the ways that you just go about your life. You think, well, it's just, you know, I could only have an impact if I'm, you know, doing something spiritual or something churchy, whatever description you want to use. No, wherever God has placed you in your life, whatever your vocation, wherever you go to school, wherever that is, God can use you and desires to use you in that place that he has placed you. You are there not just because you wanted to be there. You are there because God has placed you there. And God's desire is to maximize his work in your life for kingdom impact and kingdom influence. But a lot of times that will require us to sometimes step down a road that's a little scary at first. And most of us have had an experience like that in a variety of ways, whether it's a new job or moving to a new place or just something, you know, completely out of the ordinary of anything we've ever expected or experienced, and it makes us a little nervous. And yet he reminds us that we're following him. See, one of the things that the images, and I remember hearing this years ago from a guy a lot smarter than me and a guy that many of you have heard of, Dr. Henry Blackaby was teaching us one time at a kind of a group we were at, and he was telling us about what it was like to follow Jesus. I don't mind listening to somebody like Dr. Blackaby telling me what it's like to follow Jesus, because he knows. He's been there. And he is kind of explaining, he says, you know, he was talking about his church in Canada and a lot of the things that he's written in the book, Experiencing God. And one of the things he said is that a lot of times we would come to a juncture and we were trying to make a decision as a church on which way to go. And there was one way that looked just like it was so easy. It would be the way to go. And yet there was another way that seemed like, well, it's going to have some bumps and it's going to be tough. And he would spend a lot of time in prayer saying, God, I think this one way, the way that looks, you know, because we all know that the easy way is God's way, right? That's what he's trying to show us, right? That's what we hope. And in his time of prayer, he said, no, God kept reminding me, that's not the path that I have for you. This is the path I have for your fellowship church. It's not going to look the way you expect it to look. It's not going to give your name, you know, like, you know, your name plastered on billboards. You're not going to be the mega church you thought you'd be. This is my plan for you because I'm going to do something in and through this that you had no idea. And he said, one of the things I noticed over time, the more I listen to God and follow the path that he has for me, the greater the blessing on that road. Doesn't mean it's easy. Following God has never been easy. Following God is not, you know, skipping around. Following God is sometimes very difficult and very challenging. And Jesus wants us to understand, he wants his early, these followers and us today, I believe, to understand that you need to take the path that I have for you. And it's, he talks about two gates here. Did you catch that? And the gates, one is the broad gate and one's the narrow gate. But it's not so much the gates that are the focus there, it's the path behind the gate. One path, this looks like, I mean, this is the one. I mean, it's awesome. It's like a 18-lane or 16-lane highway. It's just massive. It's just easy. And the other one's kind of one of those crooked trails going through the woods with ups and downs and all kinds of things. You're not sure where, but the path that God desires us to take is the narrow way. Because the narrow way implies we are following the one who leads us. And Jesus will lead you on a path in life that he has for you. And he has a different one for each of us. Have you noticed that? Our experiences are different. It doesn't mean that you know, it's kind of hard to explain and understand sometimes, but God's path for you is unique, it is distinct, it is different, and there's a purpose for everything you experience on that path. Have you noticed that? You don't see it at the time. As you're going along life's path, you're thinking, oh, well, you know, this just happens because life happens. But when you get a few years on you, you can look back and you can see how God has been directing your path, how God has been guiding you. You begin to see, okay, God, I get it. I can see what you're doing. Because everything that happens in our lives, even the bad things, God does not cause the bad things to happen, but even those things, God is able to use them, correct? He is able to use them to form us, to shape us, to mold us, to make us into the men and women of God he is designing and created us to become. And you look back on your life and you've gone, many of us, I'm looking at a place in this room and some of us, some of you are a little more seasoned than I am. We'll leave it that way. How's that sound? And you've experienced things in your life that I have not experienced. And yet, you would probably not want to anyone else to go through some of the things you've been through, but then you would not want to take away some of the lessons learned and the things that God has taught you and the way that he has shaped you as a result of that challenging path. Does that make sense? I know that's true in my own life. There are things that I have went through that I would not wish on anyone. And yet as I look back on them, I really wouldn't want to take them away. I wouldn't want to take them away not because I enjoyed the feeling I was going through. I wouldn't want to take them away because of what God taught me. And oftentimes it's in the stress, it's in the difficulty, it's in the struggle where you are drawn closest to God, isn't it? Because in those moments, you're independence, your ability to take care of everything, your ability to see things the way they are taken away because God is fully able to lead you and guide you through that path. It's messing with you now that the screens are blank, isn't it? And that's okay. It's good to mess with us every now and then. I think God likes to take us out of our comfort zones every now and then. God, because he has this desire, the point of our life is not ease, and pleasure, the point of our life is to be like Jesus. That's it. The point of my life is to become more like my Savior and my Lord. That every aspect of my character, every aspect of my life, my thought life, everything about me becomes more and more in line and in tune with who he is and what he's seeking to do in my life so that in this life he's given me, others can see his work and his handiwork and give him praise and glory for what he does. That's the focus of my life. That's the focus of any of our lives as followers of Christ. It's all about bringing glory to him. And that's a road that sometimes is not easy. And that's what Jesus is telling them here in this simple little parable about the two gates, the narrow gate and the broad gate. You know, which are you going to choose? Most people will choose the easy way, right? It's the big sign. It's to say, this has come this way. This is what it's all about. You want to follow this path. And we follow that path a lot, even in our walk with Christ sometimes. We think, well, if it's this big and everybody's doing it, it must be the best path. Many years ago in a college class, I had a professor tell us something that I didn't expect, but it was kind of, he told us a lot of things like that because that's what college professors do, right? The good ones anyway. They tell us things. And Dr. Cochran was telling us that day about different things about, you know, how to tell whether something in a movement in culture is right or wrong. And he talked about the mob mentality. Ever heard of the mob mentality? The mob mentality is mostly what most people do. Most people kind of, it's kind of like our pop culture. A lot of things, you know, they kind of have these things that come and everybody just follows them, and these crazes that are just, everything is all about them, and then it disappears for all. How many of you remember the Slinky toy? All right? You realize that comes from the Army. I believe it was something to do with their radio antennas. That's where they got the idea for that idea. But anyway, I just read, it's a Trivial Pursuit question. That's the only reason I know that, okay? But anyway, they got this Slinky, and what does the Slinky, the little metal thing, do? You remember? Remember the commercials? It goes down the stairs. Could you ever get yours to do that? I never could. It might do one or two steps, and then it would just, boom, you know, that's the way it always worked. You know, what's wrong with me? But, you know, it was a silly thing. It was a huge fad. How many remember the hula hoop? Right? That is, I still think, one of the biggest selling toys of all time was the hula hoop. It was a craze that went across the war, our land. I mean, and they were like 99 cents or a buck or whatever, these things. Never, obviously, you can look at me and tell I couldn't do that very well. So anyway, it was just one of those things, and we got all caught up in that. And there's things like that that we grab onto. In the church, we do the same thing. When we see a church having great success and God bless them, we think, well, we'll just follow that model and it will work. There's so many churches like Willow Creek, so many churches like Saddleback, like Mars Hill. These are churches that are huge and that God has blessed. And those models take place, and a lot of times those models work for a while, or then they run into trouble and they don't realize that just because it works there doesn't mean it works here. And we do that. We're looking for something. And a lot of times in life, we're looking for that path, that door, that direction that God has for, that we think is the easy way. And that's the way we often take is the broad way, the grand way, the way that looks like that's got to be the way to go. And all along, our Savior tells us what? Enter by the narrow gate. And as I think of that picture that Jesus, that word picture Jesus is trying to paint, I think of one of those gates that kind of leads into, looks like nowhere, and it's just, it's not easy to get through, and you probably have to duck to get through because of all the vines and all the junk that's there. And you're kind of going in this way, and then you walk into it, and there's this narrow way. And it's not a wide path. It's not as even as probably as wide as the aisle here. It's just something narrow, and you kind of have to pay attention when you're on the narrow path. You know that, right? If you ever walked in the woods and you've been on one of those paths that kind of go up and around, you just have to pay attention where you can't just kind of look at all the sights, because if you do, you'll end up in a bad place, all right? It won't be good for you. I'm just telling you. You'll fall. So you have to pay attention. I think that's the way our walk with the Savior is a lot of times, isn't it? He takes us on this path because when you're on the narrow path and you're following the narrow path, what do you have to do? You have to think about where you're going and you have to follow the one who's leading you very closely. Many years ago, I was a Boy Scout and we used to do a lot of hiking. And I remember we hiked, we had a trail in our little, it was near the Lake of the Ozarks where this place was, where our camp that we went to, and we had a trail, and it had a area they called the Devil's Backbone was part of it. And probably every trail in America has the Devil's Backbone or something like it. I mean, it just seems a common name. But it was a little precarious, you know, we had a little cliff. I mean, it wasn't going to kill you, but it would definitely put you in the emergency room with a broken leg if you fell. And it wasn't the easiest thing, and you had to be very careful as you traversed that. And we were, of course, you know, thought we knew what we were doing because we were Boy Scouts. Right? And Boy Scouts always know. And the guy that was leading us, a good friend of mine, he's a former retired, he's a retired military guy now. He ended up being an Army Ranger, Special Forces, all that crazy stuff. And Mike, his name is one. I've told you about him before because we had a lot of things we did together, but he always thought he knew the better way. So, well, let's take this path. And it was off the trail a little bit. Well, how do you think that worked for us? We got off the track that was difficult enough, and we kind of went a different way, and what turned to be was supposed to be a 10-minute hike was about an hour and a half. Let's just say it didn't go well for us when we got back to the main camp because we were late for dinner. And there were some folks who were getting ready to go look for us. Now, we had an enjoyable experience. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a good way to talk about the difficult road, but I will tell you, it was challenging because we had to stay close to one another. We had to stay focused on one another, or it could have been a lot worse than it was. It would have taken a lot more than an hour and a half, and who knows what would have happened. And that's that way in following Jesus, isn't it? Jesus takes us on the path in life. He's leading us in the direction that he has for us. And there we are. We're like, are you sure this is the way, Jesus? Are you really sure this is the way we want to go? And what does he say when we ask him that? Trust me. Trust me. Follow me. Just listen. Don't worry about it. I'll lead you. And as he leads us on that path, though it will have, and following Jesus is not going to be all roses and pumpkin pie. That's my favorite. Sorry if it's not yours. It's going to be some challenges at times, isn't it? It's going to be precarious. It's going to be times you're going to wonder, really, Lord, are you leaving us here? Is this where we're supposed to go? This is dangerous. And following Jesus sometimes will be dangerous. I'm just going to tell you. And life, you know, we'd like to say, well, that doesn't sound fun. Well, anybody else had to struggle with danger in life in different ways? Sure we have. You've been to the hospital before? You know what that's like. That's a scary time when there's issues that are going on. There's a variety of things we experience in life that cause us stress, that cause us angst, and cause us to wonder what's God doing in our lives. Isn't it better to be on the path that he has for us than the path that we have for ourselves? That's really what all this is trying to tell us. I think what Jesus is trying to help his believers and help us understand how simple it is that we follow him, because each choice, each decision we make in our lives is leading us down a path. And we don't often know where the path leads. A lot of times we try to follow the examples of others. My dad always said, try to learn from the mistakes of others. I've tried that, and sometimes it works, and sometimes I make the same mistakes they made. But Jesus says, follow me, let me lead you on the path, and it will be a path that I have for you. It will not be the path you would take yourself, but the path that I have for you. And God then uses your life in ways you didn't imagine. You intersect with people you never thought you'd meet. God does things through your life to make a difference in the kingdom that you never expected. And the day will come when you will see that and begin to understand that. Because a lot of times when we're going through a difficult time, what is the first thing we ask? Why? Why now, God? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Has anyone else ever asked that question besides me? I'm glad a few of you have. That's good. We ask it. We say, why is this going on? God, why are you leading me? Why is this happening? I thought this was the path you had for me. I heard the voice. I saw all the signs of direction. You know, I laid out the fleece like Gideon. I did all that, and this was the path, and it's not as easy as I thought. And oh, that's the mistake to think that following God is easy. It never is. It might be for a season, but that's not the purpose of the path that he has for us. Because God knows how to use us, God knows how to mold us, and God is shaping us, because his desire for us is, once again, not to be happy, not to have a life of ease, but his desire for us is to become like Jesus. If you look at the life of our Savior and his ministry, would you say that he had a pretty plush, easy life? I wouldn't. Seemed like every time, if you look in the New Testament, it seemed like every time things were going good, here came the naysayers, the Pharisees and the scribes, right? Or somebody. The critics would come and say, oh, Jesus, you're doing it wrong. This is not how we do it around here. And I always have found that kind of interesting, how those people who thought they knew God and God's word were correcting the word of God, literally, the Son of God. They're correcting him and trying to help him get things right, when who would know better what to do than the king, right? The one who created all. He knows, but they thought they had a better way from him. We do the same thing today, don't we? Jesus lays out a plan for us. Jesus lays out directions for us. He tells us how to do things. He gives us a command, and he says, follow me and obey me. This is what I want you to do. And we think, well, Lord, that's really hard. We want to try it this way. And then we wonder why we get in the mess we get in. And when we get off his path, kind of like we did with our hike, we got off the path and it took a lot longer than it should have and caused a few more grapes and bruises. And I didn't tell you, we also got a few extra of those little critters with the legs called ticks. You ever had those? Don't those stink? If that is not proof of sin, I don't know what is. Ticks have to be proof of sin. I don't think they were in the Garden of Eden until Adam and Eve ate the fruit. It's their fault. That's who I blame for ticks, okay? But I didn't know we were going to eat into ticks today, but we'll go on. But as Jesus is leading us on that path, help us. We got to understand there's a goal, there's a purpose, there's a direction, there's a focus, and that focus is to accomplish him to accomplish his will in our lives, and us to become more like him. And what does it mean to be more like Jesus? Anybody remember that song, More Like Jesus? I want to be, and that whole idea of that principle of becoming, we want that. But do we understand what that means sometimes? We want to be more like Jesus in his glory, where he was, you know, going through the temple and kicking out the money changers with the whip, and that sounds like fun. I could do that. With Jesus preaching to the 5,000, that's what we want. But we don't want to be like Jesus, who's being beaten, being nailed to a cross, being ridiculed, being questioned. They question his motives. They question all things about him. We don't like that. That makes us say, that's not fair. Sorry about that. Being a follower of Christ is never necessarily fair, is it? Sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes it's a struggle. But the reality is, it's the path that God has for us, and God can use that path in a way that we never imagined possible, and can use those difficulties in ways that we thought were just interruptions, distractions, things that were just making us uncomfortable. And yet God has a grand purpose for those, doesn't he? Because God has an amazing purpose for your life. All right? We're near the end, okay? So I want to bring you back in. I want you to think about this. I want to look at this. Just a thought of that Jesus, he's trying to lead these disciples and trying to remind them about what this is all like, what it looks like to follow him. He talks about that narrow way. And what does he say? The gate is small, the way is narrow that leads to life. And everybody finds it, right? No, only a few. Man, that's kind of harsh. Isn't it? But that's the way life is oftentimes, isn't it? Everybody's looking for the easy way, the quick fix. It's kind of like if you ever get those things in the mail, that these things that you could become rich if you do them, you know, or you get them in your email box. Now, nobody gets them snail mail anymore. You get them in your email box, these little things. If you would just do this and then send it to 10 people, you'll be a millionaire, right? Those goofy things. Anybody ever seen those stupid? I don't know. There comes some kind of scheme. There's a name for them. I forget. But anyway. And we think, if it looks so easy, that's the way to do it. And Jesus says, no, there's a different way I have for you. And oftentimes in the church, we're willing to take shortcuts. We think the shortcut is the easy way. We think if we can just do it the right way, then everything will work out. And he says, no, there's a different plan I have for you. It's my plan. It's my purpose. It's my direction. Follow me. That's the whole essence of the gospel, okay? The whole essence of the gospel isn't about what we do as much, but what he does, and allows us to do as we follow him. What did Jesus say to his early disciples? How did he draw them in? What was the catchphrase, you remember? Follow me. That was it. Excuse me. That was his recruiting pitch. He didn't give them there goes that frog. He didn't give them a big sales point. He didn't have all this, you know, illustrations and all this wonderful grant. This is what it'll look like. He didn't have a video or PowerPoint. All he said was, follow me. Where are we going? Follow me. What's going to happen? Follow me. Are you sure about this? Follow me. Because you see, it's really not about the journey as much as it's about the one we follow. Did you catch that? It's really not about the path. It's not about the gate. It's not about anything. It's about the one we follow. Because as we follow the Savior, our focus needs to be on him and where he's leading us in our lives. And I don't know how that is for you, but for me that's a challenge because, oh, a puppy, right? Get distracted really easy. And Jesus says, no, follow me. And the heart of that on the narrow, difficult road is that the more challenging the road, the more difficult it is, the more likely I am to follow him because I need to, and I know if I don't follow him, I'll step off the edge. And it's dangerous off the edge. I didn't say it was easy following him, but it's better to follow him. So where does that leave people like you and me? What does that path look like for us? I don't know what that path looks like for you. But I know that each and every day of your life and my life, we're going to encounter decisions and choices that we will be allowed to make that will help us follow him more faithfully. And sometimes being on that road is going to look kind of scary. It's going to look kind of crazy. And others are going to look at us and say, you are nuts to go this way. You are not, this is, why are you doing this? This makes no sense at all. And all you can say is, well, I'm just following Jesus. I'm on the path he's wanting me on, and That's what we're going to do. And I'd love to say it has a great sitcom ending and it resolves itself in 3 minutes and everything's wonderful and we're all, you know, holding hands and singing kumbaya when we leave, but that's not always the way it works. But I can tell you this, when you're on his path and you follow him and he's there, no matter what you face, no matter how difficult it comes, his presence is always there with you and he reminds you he's there. And the difficult road may be difficult from our perspective, but it is the road that the Father has for us and the Savior desires for us because his purpose and plan will be accomplished through us. And on the other side of it, when we get through it, one day we will see what he has done because of it. And we'll be so grateful that we took the path that he had for us. Because most of you have had to make choices in your life that were challenging and difficult. And at the time you wondered, right? Is this the right path to be on? But then looking back, right? You say, oh, okay, I got it. It's like that goofy poem by, I think, is it Robert Frost about the two paths? You remember that poem? You have to study it in school. There are two paths in the woods, you know. One looked really cool. That's not what he says, but it's kind of the way I look at it. And the other one, oh, it was narrow and scary, and I took the narrow path, and that has made all the difference. And he was really alluding to this text. It was. That's where he got it. And I believe that for us as followers of Christ, each day we make that choice. Will I stay on the narrow path, or will I get back on the broad way? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for the faithfulness of our Messiah and our Savior, all that he does for us, all that he speaks to us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would enable us today to be the children of God you've called us to become and to trust you on the path which you have placed us. Father, I pray your blessings upon this time. I pray your spirit have just whatever desire he has to accomplish in our midst today through this time of the service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.